Well, again, Merry Christmas and welcome, especially to any guests who are joining us this morning for Holy Mass. I'd like to begin with what I hope will be a simple question, but I'm going to compare your response to what I got in Ritzville and in Odessa. By a show of hands, who has something in common with Jesus Christ? Oh, you're like Ritzville. Everyone's hand should be in the air. Everyone has something in common with Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you have a lot in common with Christ, that you're living a life that is very Christ-like. But even at a more fundamental and basic level, we all started out in this world as babies. And that includes Jesus. We all were born through a mom. Now, I'll give you another question, a chance to redeem yourselves. Jesus is God, right? Okay, well, I'm halfway convinced by your response that you... Jesus is God, yes. So, keeping in mind that Jesus is God, did Jesus have to come into this world the way he came? As a baby? No, he didn't. He didn't. He could have chosen a different way. He could have simply appeared as a fully grown adult, or he could have come into our world in any number of ways that we can't even imagine. But he chose to come into this world the way you and I came into this world. Why is that? Why is that? Pope Paul VI, whom many of you remember, back in 1971 said this on Christmas. He said, God could have come wrapped in glory, splendor, light, and power to instill fear, to make us rub our eyes in amazement. But instead, he came as the smallest, the frailest, and weakest of beings. Why? So that no one would be ashamed to approach him. So that no one would be afraid. So that all would be close to him and draw near him. So that there would be no distance between us and him. God made the effort to plunge, to dive deep within us, so that each of us, each of you, could speak intimately with him, trust him, draw near him, and realize that he thinks of you and loves you. He loves you. Think about what this means, the Pope says. If you understand this, if you remember what I am saying, you will have understood the whole of Christianity. So the Pope is telling us that Jesus chose to come into this world as a baby to be like us, to be near us, so that we could never ever say, oh, well, Jesus, you don't really understand what it means to live this human life. You're up there in your heavenly kingdom and you're far away and you see what's going on, but you've never walked a day in my shoes. We can't say that. Jesus came to be near us, to be with us. What's another name for Jesus from the scriptures? Come on. Savior. Messiah. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I have to give myself my own answers to the questions. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us, right? God is with us. Well, what does that mean? That God is with us. Well, what does it mean to be with someone? They are close by, right? They are physically near. They are present to us. And indeed, Jesus coming as a baby makes God present to us in that way. Because the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, took on our nature, we can be actually physically close. And when Jesus left us the Eucharist, he left us a very particular and special way of being close to us. But there's another sense of the word with when we say God is with us. Let's say we have some plan and we go to our friends to make that the proposal of this plan and we say, are you with me? We're not asking, are you standing right there close to me? No, we're saying, do you desire that this plan of mine comes to fruition? In other words, are you on my side or are you against me? So God is with us in this way. God is our greatest advocate. Some people think of God as this distant, impersonal power that must be appeased or that must be convinced to give us life and to let us into heaven. But God shows us through this baby that he's with us, he's for us. He is our greatest advocate. You know, our doctors want us to be well and healthy. Teachers want their students to be well studied and to learn and learn and learn. Parents want their children to be healthy and joyful and satisfied and happy in life. God wants those things for us infinitely more than any doctor or teacher or parent. God wants what is absolutely best for us. But what happens? Sometimes someone might go to the doctor and say, well, here's what I'm doing, doc. And they sort of want the doctor to pat him on the back and say, you're doing just great. When sometimes the things they're doing are not really the best for them. So if it's a good doctor, the good doctor is going to say, no, you have to stop this and that if you want to be healthy. Or a student comes to the teacher. The role of the teacher is not to look at the student's test and say, well, no matter what you answered, you get 100%, A+. No. The teacher's job is to look and see, yes, the answers that are correct, but also to say, actually, this is different. You know, you have the wrong answer here. We need to learn what is really the truth. Parents have children. Sometimes children want the stamp of approval from their parents on whatever path they're taking through life. But I think I know well enough that the children's path through life is not always the path that the parents probably know would lead to greater happiness, greater satisfaction. But if doctors and teachers and parents care so much about their patients and students and children, and God's solicitude, his care for us, is infinitely greater, then how is it that some people go before God and just sort of want God to approve everything they do? It's kind of backwards. So God being with us, Emmanuel, I mean, God didn't send the Son into the world just to give the stamp of approval on everything that we're doing and to say, my children, I love you, so no matter what you do, you're just great. He does say, my children, I love you more than you know. He says, I want what is truly best for you. I want the things in your life that are going to bring you peace and happiness. I want the deepest longings of your heart to be satisfied and fulfilled. But God then shows us the way. Because not all of the things that we think are going to make us happy really make us happy, do they? Not always. Sometimes, but not always. As we celebrate Christmas, then, we recognize and we reflect on what it means that God is with us. He's not only present to us, but he is our greatest advocate. Then our question simply might be, are we with God? Are we following the path through life that God has marked out for us? Is there some way that we can invite God to be more and more a part of that? Is there something we can surrender to God? Something we can invite God into? Some dimension of our life? The Christmas spirit is a wonderful, wonderful spirit. Especially when we're kids, there's just that huge excitement about Christmas. I hope that we haven't lost that as adults. But my challenge to you is this, in light of what we've been talking about in terms of God being with us. Let that spirit of Christmas urge you to do something radical that you might not do on any other day. Let the spirit of Christ in this Christmas urge you to make the decision to talk to the person you haven't talked to in a long time, to bury the hatchet with someone, to make peace. I know maybe a week or so ago, a month ago, a year ago, you might have decided you didn't want to talk to that person anymore, and there'd be no chance that there could ever be reconciliation or peace. But here's the spirit of Christmas saying, the Lord is saying to us, I'm with you. So step out in courage. Make a decision today to open your life and your heart to God in a new way. So we're coming to the end of 1 year and the beginning of a next, of another. Let this be the time. Let this be the moment to allow the very Spirit of God to fill you. He's really the only one that's going to bring us the peace and joy that our souls really long for.